Major Notley, Reel 1. Was there a background of military service in your family?
Yes, there was a background of military service insofar as I had an uncle who had been in the Devons in World War I and was very badly wounded. My father was a sailor. I did hope to get into the Navy, but they found that my maths went quite up to the standard required. One can understand if you're running a battleship, you've got to be very quick mathematically to work out when to turn to right or left and port or starboard.
How did they discover this?
Through examinations, my maths had always been rather bad.
Did you do any pre-military training before you went to Sandhurst?
I was in the Corps at school, which was Sale.
What did you learn there, in the Corps?
As far as the Corps was concerned, we had certificate A and I got a badge for shooting. I was always reasonably good shot. And we learned, of course, an amount of discipline which you didn't get in the school. But the Corps were in a slightly rather outcast, I think. So within modern school in those days.
Did you do any tactical training in the Corps?
Yes, we went to Kent and we went to Cleveland, I think it was, and tactical training consisted of quite large scale exercises. We hated certain schools, and you always remember Eton had a funny sort of pink uniform. One thing I did learn was that when you were issued with blank cartridges for your GO3s, that a date stone was a very, very successful headache to fire at another school.
So does this mean you were taking part in opposed exercises with the...
Yes. But we were supposed to use blank. For instance, the machine gun was a rattle, I think, put the ground. That was all right. But providing that you're dead stone, it was really quite dangerous.
What scale of tactical training was it? Was it just platoon level, or did you go up to company?
As far as I can remember, I think we went up to company level.
Do you remember what style of tactics you were taught?
Yes, we had the sort of encircling tactics, and be able to tactically withdraw. I can't honestly remember an awful lot about it.
Do you remember doing any digging?
Very little. I think they've all been dug for us.
And do you remember anything about these dug positions? What style they were? Whether they were continuous lines of entrenchment or whether they were...
Oh, they were continuous lines, more or less. Not the slip trench, but the
Do you think that the training you got in the Corps was a valuable preparation or not?
I think it had a certain amount of value for the tactics of those days, as we'll come on to later.
Now, you'd evidently considered joining the Navy. Had you considered a civilian career of any sort?
Not really, but I think if I'd wanted a civilian career, I would like to have gone into land agency.
You decided you were going to join the Army because the Navy said your maths weren't good enough. Did you choose the DCLI straight away as your regiment?
Well, my uncle, who, as I said earlier, was in the Devons, lived in Bodmin. And I had seen the training going on there, and they were an extremely smart lot. So, at the time, of course, I didn't think I would be going into the Army. I'll tell you the other reason later.
How did you get into Sandhurst? What did you have to do in order to qualify for entry?
I took the exam. I think we went and had an exam in London, civil service exam.
Do you remember what the subjects were?
I can't remember much about it, actually, no.
Was there any process of interview or anything of that sort?
It wasn't the Navy. I don't think it was for Santa, the Army. No.
Do you remember what they asked you at your interview for the Navy?
Oh, they asked me who was the greatest admiral after Nelson, and I got the right answer.
What was the right answer?
For you, sir. I did very well, really. I passed fourth, I believe, in the interview. Mm. So I must have impressed them somewhere. Mm. Not mentally, perhaps.
What happened to you when you got to Sandhurst? What do you remember of your time there?
I remember that it was made very hard for you when you arrived. You had to do everything to double. For I don't know how long I was locked up in my room, which I shared with another cadet, and we had to eelball boots and valet scabbards, clean everything, and if we left the room for any purpose, we had to put notice up, even if we went to the loo. Corporal Johnson was my corporal, who went to the Cardinals, I think, and he was only doing what a corporal's supposed to do.
Yes. A cadet corporal.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Do you remember how long that hard stage lasted?
No, I can't really, but probably not too long. Mm. Probably did me no harm.
What did you actually do in the way of training? What was on the syllabus?
Yes, we had everything besides education, we had writing, physical training, range work. Can't remember much more.
You mentioned education. What subjects did you do in education?
Military history and geography.
Who taught you the military history?
One of the very well-known people, Sunday Cole. Somebody in town, we were talking by somebody who was very well known. He read the book. And military administration was another one. Again, the names were fabulous names, which of course have been forgotten now, but they were the classic kind of authors.
Experts of the day.
Yes, mm. Yeah. I also had to write an essay, and I wrote on the Industrial Revolution, which was all right.
That sounds like pure history rather than military history.
Well, that was part of it. It wasn't entirely military history.
You mentioned riding. Up to what sort of standard were you taught to ride? What sort of riding were you doing?
Well, it was all pretty rough stuff. Once you had learnt how to sit on your horse, and you had to vault on and off and ride on a saddle without stirrups or anything. Riding I loved. I mean, I think you either loved it or loathed it. Everybody had to do it.
Did it teach you anything of practical value?
Well, it's all right when I joined the regiment, and in both countries, in England and in India, one had an opportunity to ride. So I think it was good.
Did you do a lot of cross-country riding when you were... in training?
We did a bit of cross-country, yes.
I mean, it's often said that the great benefit of riding and the benefit of hunting is that it teaches you to appreciate ground.
Yes.
Do you think that's that's the case?
Yeah.
You mentioned doing PT. Were you fit when you joined?
Yes, I was fit. I wasn't particularly good at PT, but I got by. And it was very important, PT, because the physical training officer was a chap called John Philippo, who was DCLI. I don't think I impressed him all that much, perhaps, with my PT, but I got into the regiment. The other reason I went into DCLI was they had an unbeaten record of winning the Army Cross Country for 7 years running, and I got into the Sandhurst team. So that helped, I think.
When you were doing PT, what was the main emphasis? Was it on agility or endurance or strength? What do you think they were trying to develop particularly?
They were certainly trying to to develop strength, I think. Probably endurance as well. I do remember that the last thing we had to do was sort of walk backwards over a horse and change direction, which I found very difficult when I got by on it.
Do you think lots of other cadets found the demands of the PT difficult too?
Oh yes. We had one particular chap who was a joke, but he got through.
How did he manage that?
I don't know. I don't think... There were some people I think they had to give up on all this, but this chap did well in the army. He had a chap called Jock White, who was the very well-known chief instructor, a Scotsman, almost as broad as he was long. And we all admired him, although he made it difficult for us. And there was one instructor called Noman, who I remember very well, who was absolutely brilliant, and they used to put on a demonstration course during the term, at the end of the term, and they walked 2 weeks with him. And Bowman was, he got commissioned eventually.
So evidently set upon pushing the standards as high as possible.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the range work, did you fire a full course of musketry?
Yes, I think so. I think we had 40 plates and that sort of thing. As far as I can remember. I quite enjoyed it.
Did you adapt well to the rifle?
Yes. Yes, I was always a pretty good shot.
What about the light machine gun? What did you have?
Oh, we had a Lewis gun. I don't think we got onto Lewis gun at Sandhurst.
You didn't get onto Lewis gun at Sandhurst?
I don't think we were allowed to get onto the thing. Goodness, it was a ghastly thing.
It was a ghastly thing. Why was it a ghastly thing?
It was heavy. Inefficient, and we did have it even when I joined, but it was gradually got on to the brim and I went to bed. But we did start off with those guns.
What was it that made it inefficient as a weapon?
Well, there were too many stoppages, and it was inefficient because being heavy and not all that easy to load. Compared to what followed, the Bren, and in India, as a matter of interest, the Vickers-Werther, there was no Bren in India to start with. We had a gun called a Vickers-Werther, which was slightly different, but a very good weapon.
Do you remember what sort of distances you were shooting at on the ranges?
Oh, anything from 100 yards upwards, 100 to 600, I suppose.
600 is quite a long way away.
That was the last, we advanced to shoot. The target's 600 yards away, and we gradually got closer and closer.
Which you'd fire 10 rounds, then move up, and then fire another. Did you have to do that sort of thing to a time limit?
Yes, I think so.
So it's really rather like a primitive tactical exercise.
Yes.
What about moving targets or pop-up targets?
I don't remember those particularly at Sandhurst, but of course, once one was in the regular army, there were plenty of those.
What about tactical training at Sandhurst? Do you remember what you did as far as that was concerned?
I remember very little about tactical training. Maybe a little on paper, but I don't remember going out to do shoots at Sandhurst.
What about appreciations? Did you do any of those?
Oh yes, we were taught the principles of war, Moses Cricket Club. We've got those there in your head.
And you mentioned military history. Do you remember what you learned in the field of military history?
Well, a lot of history of World War One. A good deal about the Peninsula War and Waterloo. Very little about Crimea, I think.
What was the social life at Sandhurst like when you were there?
Well, the social life was rather a difficult one. Everybody had a girlfriend, and we had a thing called the Dune Ball, which I suppose I must have gone to. And a girlfriend. I had a girlfriend, the Isle of Wight, who used to come and stay in Diggs and Camden. And we had a little party with about four of us. And some friends of mine, they had their girlfriend. But locally, I had some girlfriends who lived a little way away, because my parents came from, my father-in-law came from Wokingham, so I got to know that area a little bit, my future father-in-law.
Did you have plenty of time free when you were a cadet? What was the sort of normal working day?
Well, I think we started about 7 in the morning, and we had a break for lunch, and the evening meal, I always remember, was in the FGS, the fancy goods store, they called it. We had to put on our clothes for that, and there was study time after that, and then study time before. The exact working hours, I can't really remember. The thing I always remember, of course, about Sandhurst was Bicycle Girl.
Tell me about that.
Bicycles were fastest because we all had bicycles and they had numbers. And I think they had company colours. We had white stripes on ours. I was the number 5 company, that's in the left of the other building. And our platoon officer was a very well known character called Julian Gascon, who became governor of Bermuda. And it was the platoon officer's job to check the brakes on everybody's bicycle. That's what happened. Somebody, it wasn't me, not for doing it over, doing any good. He was checking the brakes and this chap was on. So it was very sad. We also had a chap called Douglas, who was a Scots Guard. He was our sergeant. The drill sergeants were extremely good. And I had a lot of time for them.
Was there a great deal of emphasis on drill?
Yes.
Was that consistent all the way through, or was it concentrated in the first term?
Pretty consistent, because everybody was going for champion company, which we became after my last term. Yes, was a lot.
When was it actually decided that you were going to join the Duke of Cornwall's?
I think it's the last term. You had to normally go, they were back down, and have dinner with them, sit in tandem, and they liked you. When you won enough marks, you were accepted, and it was a vacancy. It's important.
So it was decided fairly late in the training?
Yes.
Now, round about this time, coming up to commissioning in 1937, there were some disturbing political developments going on in Europe and beyond.
Yes.
Were you aware of that at the time?
Oh, yes, I think so, yes.
Can you remember when you came to the conclusion that another war was a possibility and when it became a certainty in your own mind?
I think in my own mind, when I joined, when I was commissioned in 1937, it was the clouds were beginning to gather, and I think I understood what the implications were.
What was it in particular that had alerted you to the prospects?
Prospects of war?
Yes.
Well, I think Chamberlain and Hitler and the invasion of Poland, the Germans. I was aware of the general suspects.
Did you have any ideas about the way in which the war might be fought? About the way in which operations might be conducted in the future?
Yes, I think I did. I have to say here, I was in India, of course.
Yes. At the time of the outbreak, but I'm
In fact, when it came back in 1941.
Yes, I'm thinking here more about when you were at Sandhurst and when you were commissioned.
Yes.
And that time, whether you had any ideas about how the next war might be fought.
Yes, I think they had tried to instill this sort of thing. Yeah.
But I mean, do you remember what, you know, if you had any specific ideas about the use of air power or developments of armoured warfare or
anything of that sort? Yes, tanks were very much under consideration, tank warfare. We were all taught about Cambrai.
Was that at Sandhurst you were taught about Cambrai?
Oh, yes.
During the studies of the First World War?
Yes.
Yes.
That was very much a thing, and the fascines that they used.
Yes.
Tank warfare was very much a thing. People were working on tank corps was a very good thing to earn money for it.
Were you tempted by the idea of the tank corps?
No. Can I tell you that we had, this is a slight joke, we were taught mechanical engineering, and it was only started in the second term, I think, and they had one cutaway engine which demonstrated how a petrol engine worked. And the chap who was responsible for this was the only private soldier in the whole of Sandhurst, and his name is Potts.
Private Potts. Was there any attempt to teach you to drive while you were at the academy?
No.
The college?
No. We had a car. I weren't allowed to keep it there. Mm. Some people did. Mm. I didn't have one then. Mm.
Now, you arrived at Blackdown in August 1937 to join the 2nd Battalion.
I arrived in March.
You arrived in March?
March, yes.
Yes. What were they doing when you got there?
Well, they were part of the experimental brigade under Wavell. And one of the things we had to do was a mobilisation parade. We were based as a mobilisation battalion, and everybody helped us out on there. It was interesting because we had any new machinery that came along. I mean, we had an Austin 7, which is a couple of commander's car. And the other thing, two-seater Austin 7. And tanks were so important that they meant enough. I was, when we went on training, I had a car then. I was paid so much to use my car as a light tank on training. So I went all the way to East Anglia as a light tank. Got paid when he hit me well.
Did they use cardboard or any material to try and change the appearance of your car, or was it just...
No, it was just left. No.
Just the car as it was. Well, when you arrived at the battalion, did you get given a platoon immediately?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many of the soldiers were there in it?
Very few. These were days of shortage. I mean, there were all sorts of soldiers from Ireland. There were no Cornishmen, very few Cornishmen. The officers were Cornish, all except me, almost. I was a foreigner. But the soldiers came from Ireland, Liverpool, and so on. And there weren't too many of them at that time.
How did they receive you when you turned up?
Oh, I was very well received. We had the usual sort of business of seeing ourselves and telling the journalists what to do. I remember the first evening when I had put on mess kit, my batman, whose name was Trim, my countryman's name was Fit, and my batman's name was Trim. Trim had been cleaning my wear equipment, which had to have Manco on, and he was trying to get my stiff shirt, which I had to wear in mess kit. And it was covered in this manco, and I had an awful job getting dressed. And I arrived in the mess after the morning also, which was just not done. So I was ticked off for that. But Trim wasn't a very good batman.
Was he Irish?
No, I don't think Trim came from Birmingham, I think.
How did your soldiers receive you when you first turned up to announce your
venue? Well, I relied so much on one's platoon sergeant, whose name was Quality, I think. You were very much under the senior NCO in your platoon as a sergeant. I think it was the same for all of us, probably.
How long did that last for? that period of tutelage. I was asking you how long it was that you were under the really under the tutelage, as it were, of the sergeant before you.
Well, I think it gradually came, and by the time we went on manoeuvres in September, I hope I was fully in command, because I tell you what, your music still was going on. Do you want to know?
Yes.
Well, September was the beginning of the troopers season, and one of the things that happened in this camp, we went to Blanche's Park, wherever it was, somewhere in Suffolk, where was the training area, was to be inoculated for all the various diseases and things one was likely to pick up in tropics. And of course, it was all done in one needle, and there was a great queue to get done first. Some of the soldiers I remember had very sore arms, but it had to be. I was one when I was getting bored, but I didn't go for December. But I do remember the training there, and in particular, I was commanding the company, I forget why. My company commander Fit was doing something else. And I was in the middle of the field. The emphasis was on camouflage, but the camouflage was round the edge of the field. You could have the officers' mess and the company lines and everything in the middle of the field. But I happened to be commanding the company, and I was in the middle of the field where the company headquarters was would be. But there was tremendous track discipline round the edge, and you know, the company bicycle, or two bicycles, which we had, awful, heavy back pedal things, had to go around the ditch. Anyway, the RSM suddenly appeared and said that General Sir Montgomery Massenburg was on his way to see me. And General Sir Montgomery Massenburg, a very impressive figure indeed, turned up. And I saluted and said, Second Lieutenant Notley, Air Company, etc. He said, where are your troops? And I had put I had signal flags, I haven't got any troops, enough. I had put four signal flags in each corner of the field. Oh, he said, very good. I've done very well. I've got them all in the field. That's the middle.
This sounds rather like a toot, in effect, although it wasn't intended to be.
Well, I suppose it was, right, yes.
You say you were concerned with camouflage. Was that camouflage from aerial reconnaissance?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think so. Thank you very much.
Did your battalion have troop-carrying vehicles of any kind at that time as part of the experimental force?
Oh, yes. Well, we had three tunnels, but I think they were troops. They weren't designed to carry troops, but they did carry them.
Were these?
Yeah, I don't know any troop carriers as such. Yeah. Of course, you're looking here at the
So soft skin trucks, three tunnels.
Yes.
Were these RASC trucks or were they your own?
RASC.
So you were just an ordinary infantry battalion being employed in an experimental role.
Yes.
What about the universal carrier, the Bren gun carrier? Did you have those?
We had that, and that was, of course, that was experimental.
What did you think of that as a...
Well, I thought it was very good. I had driven one, and they did prove themselves in the early part of the war in a very big way.
Do you know what you were practicing when you went up to East Anglia on that exercise? What sort of operation?
I would have said, if anything, defence.
So the use of mobile forces in defence?
Yes.
Do you know if it was an opposed exercise? Was there an enemy?
Oh, yes, there was always red and green. Yes, yes. There was always some terrible chap on the other side.
Did you know anything about the terrible chap on the other side? What sort of chap he was?
Well, he was generally accepted as a communist, which of course he was not. Mm. He, in general speaking, he wanted to capture some depot which was well behind the Uno.
And you were defending it.
And we were defending it, but there's one way in there, but there was.
Well, were you planning to defend it by ambushing him or by making a sort of counterstroke against him? Do you remember what the overall plan was to be?
I think the overall plan was probably to let elements through and then close the trap.
This sounds as though it's an entrapment manoeuvre.
Yeah, I think that was probably the pink solution. Yes.
What's the role of your infantry, to hold ground, or was it to...
No, hold ground, anything else. Yes, I think so.
Did they practice digging in for this... Well,